In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Brothers and sisters, today the Church puts before us the commemoration of the Synaxis of the Mercenary Healers. Synaxis means the bringing together. We commemorate today all of those mercenary healers who healed through both medical science and also faith and grace by the power of Jesus Christ. November 1st was Saints Cosmas and Damian. We're familiar with who they were. They were brothers, they were physicians, and they worked these wonders by the power of God. Sometimes we confuse them with other brothers with the same names and the same days. There was a set of brothers in Asia Minor, and those who we commemorate on November 1st, but also in Rome and in Arabia. And this shows us how we're called to imitate the lives of the saints. We're named after saints, and we try to follow in their footsteps. There was a certain pattern here we see with these Cosmas and Damian brothers. But this was a pattern set first, of course, by Christ himself, who sent out the disciples two by two, telling them that they were to work these signs and wonders as they preached the gospel. It says in the gospel that we heard today, gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And he told them to preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. In the epistle we heard today from St. Paul to the Corinthians, his first epistle, he says, now you, us, we are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helpers, administrators, and variety of tongues. You see, those disciples who were sent out, and we today, members of the church, continue the ministry of Jesus Christ, who is the chief physician, the one who not only gave life in the beginning, but when we had fallen away from it, restores us to life. And more than that, promises us eternal life, life as it should be, without sickness, sorrow, and sighing, without corruption and death in his heavenly kingdom. We are pleased to be co-workers with Christ in this ministry, and at the end of the service today, we'll ask those who are called specifically to medical professions to come forward for a blessing. We do this annually to renew them in their faith and in this grace that comes through Jesus Christ. This past week, I had occasion to visit someone in the hospital, and while I was there, the words of Father Thomas Soroka from the previous week were echoing in my mind. He said that there's a one-to-one relationship between a human being and death. Everyone who lives in this life will die. And that was just going through my mind as I was in this hospital, visiting someone who we're praying would not die, but would get better, get well, and leave. But everyone there, in the hospital and outside the hospital and all across the world, ultimately is terminally ill. All of us are mortal. And that's a very sobering thing to think about. And it's a data point that we often don't want to think about. Now, we want to talk a lot about healthcare, and today we'll do a little bit of that, based upon the commemoration for the day. We want to talk a lot about healthcare, but no one talks about the fact that no matter what we do, we can't defeat death, that we die. Later today, we'll have an Orthodoxy 101, getting to the basic fundamentals of our faith. But I want to share with you something from Economics 101, and that's that cost is simply a function of supply and demand. Everybody's taking some kind of economic course, right? We know about supply and demand. It dictates what cost is going to be. Well, what happens when you have a limited supply of something, but unlimited demand? Well, cost goes up. And now remember, it's an unlimited demand and limited supply. Cost continues to go up. It'll go through the roof. Isn't that the situation with our healthcare system? We have a limited supply of health, life, and the demand for it is unlimited. There is no answer paying for healthcare costs. You can't pull money out of a hat to pay for everything. Because we can't pull life out of a hat, right? That's the real crux of the matter. No matter how much we spend on it, we can't buy it. Eternal life is not for sale like that. And we try paying for it. You know, if you were to research this on Google, you'll see some statistics which are shocking. We spend in America 20% of our GDP, of our overall economy, goes to healthcare costs. That's $3.5 trillion. Big number, right? We don't like dealing with trillions, but how much is that per person? About $11,000 per year. Not per family, per person. $11,000 per year. But we've seen since 1960, when the life expectancy in this country was about 7 years old, we've seen a rise in that. Now, on average, in this country, we live to about 78.7 years. And again, these costs are skyrocketing. Are we getting what we're paying for? The prophet and King David in the 11th century BC, in his book of Psalms, he wrote in chapter 90, "The years of our life are 70. What's a score?
20 years.
So 70 is 60, plus 10, 70 years. The years of our life are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, 80 years, most of those will be in labor and sorrow. For life is soon cut off, and we fly away." So that was 11th century BC, 3,000 years ago. Life expectancy hasn't changed too much, has it? I don't think so. You know, when we think about healthcare, we have to think about Christ as the chief physician. A physician who knows how to heal not only the body, which we heard about, and we hear about just about every Sunday, we heard about in today's gospel, the woman with the flow of blood, right? She went to all the physicians, nobody could heal her. She comes to Christ, just touches the hem of his garment. Doesn't even ask for healing, just touches the hem. She's healed. He says, "I know someone touched me, power went out from me." Then he goes and he raises the daughter from the dead, right? Everyone says she's dead. Christ says, "No, she's just sleeping. Death is like sleep for me. And I'm going to wake her up. Little girl, arise," right? Christ works these wonders, these healings, restoring the bodies. But much more so has he come to restore the soul. You know, these miracles that he worked, they drew the crowds. Everybody came because they wanted healing and they wanted life. They came for healthcare, right? They went to the one guy who could provide it. But he was offering to them something more than just healing of the body. He was offering to them healing of the soul. Restoration to union with God. A life of virtue. A life filled with love for God and for one another. Had he been just offering that, how many people would have went out into the wilderness, would have followed him wherever he was going? Take away the healings. Take away the miracles. I would venture to say not too many. Not too many. And I think perhaps, brothers and sisters, it would be the same today. Maybe the reason we turn to God, who is the life of all, is because we are sick, because we are mortal, because we need Him. If we were not sick, if we were not mortal, we might be simply just content with the way things are. How much do we really think about the health of our soul? Or do we think more about the health of our bodies? Which is the primary concern? What are we chasing after? Is it virtue? Is it union with God? Or is it another 5 years on our life? At $11,000 per year. Which isn't even guaranteed. Christ, our chief physician, uses sickness, disease, and death so that we might turn to Him and have life more abundant. Restoration in the mind and in the heart and in the will so that we might be made whole. Not walking around like the half dead, right? Where we're dead in soul, but we're alive in the body, somehow content with that, as if that's what life is all about. He doesn't want us to abide in that. That's already death. We're like zombies if we're like that. He wants us to have life in its fullness. You know, when we pray for those who are in these medicinal disciplines, those in research, those in any kind of service to those who are infirm, the sick, the dying. We ask God to strengthen them, to give them grace, to go out and to do His work, giving people comfort and restoration, giving them a little bit of life again. But when we send them out, we don't send them out in ignorance, thinking that when someone gets sick or dies on their watch, that somehow they have failed. No, they haven't failed. Because God, the chief physician, is using that sickness and that death so that that person can turn back to Him who is life. Can once again seek Him out. We are all mortal. We are all terminally ill. What are we going to do about it? To whom are we going to turn? Except to God. So that He might heal not just our bodies, but more importantly, our souls. So that He might give us that life that we desire. That life that He's commissioned us as His body, as His church. That life that He's commissioned us to bring out into the world as part of our ministry. Brothers and sisters, let us do the work of Christ. And that's the restoration of the human being. The life as it should be. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.